Blog Talk Radio. Sam. All right. We are rocking and rolling. Hey now. What's going on, everybody? I hope everybody is doing well. I hope that you can hear me well. You can definitely text me if you're close and you have my number. Text me. Let me know you hear me fine. Welcome to episode 108 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina, and it is my honor and my privilege to bring you this broadcast tonight. Oh, my word. I hope everybody's great. I really, really do. I was off last week because it was the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and of course, I take that. I hope everyone had a beautiful day of reflection, and I really hope that most of us will understand and overstand that the dream is not yet fulfilled, and we got to keep pressing. But one of the interesting things that I always recall about the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King, although he was a progenitor of nonviolence, as he reached the end of his days, he began to see a different light. And this is a light that most of us do not, we're not really aware of it, because mainstream media and the machine just wants to continue to push the nonviolent aspect and the whole, you know, meek as a lamb type of thing. But there are times when one must become a roaring lion. And one of the most famous quotes that he stated before he passed, actually, before he was murdered, was that, I'm going to basically surmise, but he said, "I feel as if I have been attempting for us to integrate into a burning house." I don't know how many of you are aware of that statement. That was a statement he made in one of his last speeches, and he also said it in conversation to different constituents. It was very, very interesting because I don't know if y'all even realize that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the late, great Elhaj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, met several times, and they spoke about many things regarding the plight of the African-American in this country. And because Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I should say, a huge catalyst for change and for civil rights in this country. However, like I said earlier, just because he preached nonviolence doesn't mean that he was running with that to his dying day, if you feel me. Okay? He definitely was having doubts in those last days about us continuing to turn the other cheek while we're getting fire hosed and attacked by police dogs and police officers with batons. And meanwhile, we're just, you know, sitting at a lunch counter or trying to march over a bridge. It's really intense because he was talking about divesting. Now, some of you may not remember that word since the apartheid movement, but when you divest from a huge corporation, it basically means you are not giving financial support to that company. If we divest, like we were talking about during the time of apartheid, you know, I am a proud alum of Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, and we had sit-ins and walkouts and demonstrations and poured soda on the floor. We wanted our school to divest from Coca-Cola. We wanted our teams to not receive endorsements from Reebok. We went in hard for it. I remember I had a huge poster, huge Keith Haring poster. Eli Yates is a late, great artist, Keith Haring. But I had a huge Keith Haring poster, an anti-apartheid poster, but it was larger than a poster. It was like a mural. It took up most of the wall on one of the walls in my dorm room. And, you know, we were committed to trying to make change any way that we could. So getting back to the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when he started suggesting that black folk not support Coca-Cola and other major companies, That is when the machine went into full swing. They really got their panties in a bunch, and they made sure that they were able to orchestrate his assassination. There are a lot of things around his assassination that are just awkward, crazy, and wrong. Saying that the individual that was charged with his death wasn't involved in it, but the amount of shots that he received and the angle from which they came did not correlate with the police report, if you're following me, okay? Very similar to the assassination of Malcolm X, Alhaj Malik Shaddad. There were so many shots fired from so many different directions that it couldn't have been just one person, if you're following me. So what's interesting is that both of these men, really, were assassinated not just in their prime, but at a time when their overall overarching message began to change. Everybody knows Malcolm X was hardcore. He would call white people devils. He would go in, go in, go in. However, after he returned from Mecca, and he made Hajj in Mecca, and he stated, even in his autobiography, if you've read it, that I can't call all white people devils because I, you know, ate and slept and prayed with fellow white Muslims while I was on Hajj in Mecca. And so, and these were not devilish individuals. So he could no longer say that all white people were devils. He was also promoting great unification with the motherland, with Africa. Things changed a whole lot after he went to Mecca. So, and I believe he went twice, but I know that he came back a changed man. It wasn't about killing white people. It wasn't about doing harm to other people. It was more about finding common ground, learning how to live together, and for us to have an alliance with Mama Africa, even to go or to move or to live there, any of those things. But it wasn't the mainstream message that most of us always heard, if you will. So both of them changed towards the end, and I think that is what really got them assassinated. I do believe that if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stayed on his precipice of turn the other cheek and don't fight back, and he wasn't talking about divesting and using our economic power, because we have great economic power. We don't utilize the league, but as a unit, as African-American people, as people of color in this nation, and I don't like to use that word, people of color, we're not crayons, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. If we decide to not spend money for one day, whether it's for gas for your car or in the supermarket or at any fast food restaurant or department store or any other place where we spend money, if we decided, if all of us decide on one day, just one day, to not spend any money in the, with the machine will snap. And, you know, it's very interesting because I really don't think that we overstand our power. We really, really don't. And it bothers me when large institutions like certain churches just fail to really unify the people with strength and power. Our economic power is fierce. But yet, I don't hear no preacher talking about let's all don't spend money on one day. I've never heard that. I hear it from the Nation of Islam. Hey. I hear it from the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Hey. But I don't hear it from Creflo Dollar, who's got himself in trouble. He's in trouble. I don't hear it from even T.D. Jakes, really. I don't hear it. So maybe y'all have heard it, and y'all can let me know if you have, and if you know of a reverend or a preacher who's actually tried to move forward with this, but I haven't. And I just think it's interesting because the church has a lot of power that they just don't use. they just don't use the power that they have. I mean, it's like everybody can come together for, you know, sermons and fellowship and coffee cake after church and choir singing and, you know, hallelujah and all that. But still in all, when it comes to trying to get bigger things done, it's not happening. That's interesting. You know, it took the banding together of Black Hebrew Israelites marching down Flatbush Avenue and scaring the living daylights out of white folk, you know, chanting that they are the real Jews and what have you. That's unification and power. I don't see the church doing that. I'd like to, but I don't see it. Nonetheless, you know, that's not even like the whole premise of tonight's broadcast. However, to shed light on it, because when you look at the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it is because he began to change his mind. And it is overdue that many of us begin to change ours. Okay, because some of y'all still believe the white man's ice is colder, white people this, white women that, blah, 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 blah. You know, like I said before, you have all these athletes and NBA, NFL stars, and they throw all these white women at them, and some of them catch, you know, some of them get married, you know, what have you. Then, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later, they get a divorce. Like, it's a mess. And we've really got to open our eyes and look inward. We must know our history. I'm going to get into that this evening, but it is imminent that we know who we are and what we're really working with out here. It's really important. So, again, I said, welcome to episode 108 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I'm your host, Queen Amina, very happy to be here with you. Happy birthday to all the Aquarians out there. Hey, hey. You know, may you have a wonderful year ahead, and may you enjoy many, many, many more years of happiness and health and wealth and joy. I have some dope Aquarians in my life. Sister Rosalind Moore, my girl Caroline, my girl Moya Sore, my sister Laura. Like, there's beautiful Aquarians in my life. I love you, Aquarians. You're beautiful. So happy birthday to everyone. Happy birthday. Let's see. So, first up. Okay, so Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of the late Elvis Presley. Remember Elvis Presley? She died from cardiac arrest. They said she had a heart problem. I don't know if that's even true, but it was just interesting because she was young. She was 54, and she dropped dead. Now, what was also interesting and, of course, undershadowed was that American Idol alum C.J. Harris, he had placed six on the show in the 13th season in 2014. He also died. He was 31 years old. He dropped dead, and all the attempts to administer CPR could not revive him at all. I mean, wow. Thank you, KK. This is a happy 108th episode. I know, right? Isn't it something? But yeah, it sounds like he also died of cardiac arrest. Now, what I need you all to pay attention to and try to keep your finger on the pulse of is all these cardiac arrests, people are just dropping like flies. And I feel like it does have a connection to the tenderoni hot sauce, but at the same time, you know, we have to continue to keep our eyes open. But there's something about this trend of individuals dropping dead, people dropping like flies, people dying in their sleep. Okay? And although, yes, people die every day, Mother is well aware of this, but the way in which people are dying is very interesting. People are dropping dead. People's hearts just stop beating. Or they have a huge heart attack and it just can't be made better. No one can heal. No one can get over it. You all know people who have had heart attacks and survived. You know people who have had the zipper, quote unquote, where they literally break up into your chest and, you know, fix the arteries to your heart. I know 65, 70-year-olds who've gotten the zipper, and they survived. So what's with all these young people dropping dead from cardiac arrest? Please pay attention. Anyway, and I'm going to talk more about what's going on with the tenderoni hot sauce shot and things like that a little bit later. But I just wanted to shed a little bit light on that. And, you know, I never wish death on anyone. I pray that the Presley family, you know, will be able to heal and they'll be able to get past this, especially her daughter, because no daughter wants to lose their mother that early. And, of course, no parent wants to lose their child, period. So I know that it's definitely a very difficult time. And so I definitely pray for love and mercy and sympathy and comfort for their family, as well as the family of CJ Harris from American Idol. I think it's really interesting. And he was healthy. Healthy, strong, young, black brother. Poof. So something ain't right. Anyway, moving forward, I'm just going to give you little tidbits in what's going on in the news, you know, and things like that. So this was interesting to me. I had to talk about this one. Okay, apparently over the weekend, a white man broke into Joe's Crab Shack in Fort Myers, Texas, and he decided to steal some cocktails and leave behind some of his own little crab cakes, if you follow me in this story. So around 2:30 a.m., January 21st, a man caught on surveillance video broke into a Joe's Crab Shack in Fort Myers, police say. He allegedly climbed through a small window that he had broken prior to stealing multiple items, including alcohol. But the twist is that he defecated on the floor prior to leaving. Yeah, he took a dump on the floor in the Joe's Crab Shack. Now, y'all know Joe's Crab Shack, and Joe's Crab Shack does have bathrooms. I mean, if you had to go, you could have went to the bathroom. Why did you take a dump on the floor in the restaurant? I don't understand. Anyway, stole Joe's Crab Shack hat off of a shelf and wore it as he walked around the restaurant. Okay, I got this story from WFLA-TV. And it's one thing you break into, but he didn't take no money either. It's one thing if you break into a place and, okay, you steal an alcohol, but maybe you're thirsty, whatever. But why do you want to check a boo-boo on the floor in the restaurant? So one person had asked, well, can you obtain forensic DNA from what he, quote, left behind? I was like, oh, I don't even want to examine that. But, you know, other people are suggesting that maybe he was a disgruntled former employee or he had been denied alcohol early in the evening. I'm like, who knows the motive? But something ain't right with boo-boo, because it's not as if I've never been to a restaurant and had somebody, like, tick me off or anything. Not to the point where I'm going to break in, steal some cocktails and a hat, and take a dump. I'm just saying, what is wrong with people? People are crazy these days. Something just, okay, moving forward. Now, I've been covering this for a moment for various reasons. Some satirical, because it made me laugh, and some because, of course, we need to be in the know and know what's going on. So George Santos, okay, this is the GOP House Representative George Santos, okay? He has recently been found dressed as a Brazilian drag queen named Katara, which was exposed after he denied sex swap allegations. Now, this person is a pathological liar. I need to go there. This person is a pathological liar. So much of what he has purported has been found to be completely untrue. You didn't embellish. See, like, say, I embellished a little. No, you lied. You lied. Ain't no embellishment. So, this footage of him dressed as a drag queen, this came out this week, and it was weird because it came out just a few hours to the already embattled congressman denied the sex swap allegations against him. I got this story right here from radaronline.com. See this. The surprising footage of Santos, dressed as a drag queen, leaked on Thursday and captured the 34-year-old Republican politician speaking in Portuguese during a pride march just outside of Rio de Janeiro in 2005. According to the video, which has since been uploaded to YouTube, honey, Santos is seemingly spotted at the 419 mark, dressed in a black dress and wearing dark sunglasses. He also appeared to have long hair, dressed in a ponytail. Now, this is the bad part. He says, I do presentations at 1940 Jacarepaguá. I do Cascadura. I also did Cabaret Casanova in Gloria, and I did one at La Boy. Okay, he says this in the video, apparently referencing to some of Rio's most well-known drag bars. He says, quote, the event is good, well organized. I really love it. Now, let's fast forward to 2022 and 2023, where we are right now. Okay? Because now he's trying, you know, he's wearing a suit and he's trying to act like everything's cool. I knew something was wrong with him when I first saw him. Sorry. The vibe was there. The universe speaks to me and says, brother, yay and nay. I was like, something ain't right. But moving forward. As RadarOnline.com previously reported, the newly resurfaced footage of Santos dressed as a drag queen in Brazil nearly two decades ago came shortly after Eula Rochard, also a drag queen, an alleged former friend of Santos, spoke out to claim that she and the New York House Republican dressed up as drag queens together in 2008. Quote, I think I met him when he was around 16 or 17 years old to hang out in my house while his mom was playing bingo, Ricard revealed on Wednesday. Quote, the picture was taken in 2008 at the Pride Parade in Icaré Beach in Niterói. She continued referencing a picture she found and uploaded to social media featuring her and Santos. Quote, George had disappeared for a little while and then returned to Brazil with a lot of money, and that was about the same time when the picture was taken, end quote. Eula goes on to state that, quote, he didn't have what it takes to be a professional. George did not have the glamour for that. He can't even be a good drag queen, in other words. This is really interesting. So Santos then tweets, quote, This is where it gets fuzzy. The most recent obsession from the media claiming that I am a drag queen, performed as a drag queen, is categorically false. The media continues to make outrageous claims about my life while I am working to deliver results. I will not be distracted nor fazed by this. Boo boo, you got the pictures online. Okay, I saw one where he's got on a red gown with some embroidery. Listen, so if you're dressing in drag and you're rocking out at the different bars and you're in the parade, you're a drag queen. I don't care. It wasn't Halloween. It wasn't a masquerade party. We know what we're talking about right here, right? But he wants to deny everything. Okay, so the article goes on to state, Santos' alleged history as a drag queen and his denial regarding the matter comes after he came under fire when it was revealed that he lied about a number of aspects connected to his college, professional, and family history. Lies, 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 lies. In December, just days before he was officially sworn in as Long Island's House representative, he admitted that he lied about graduating from Baruch College in 2010. Again, I say he is special. I am using the earmark quotations when I say special. Because he was heard, I heard it myself, in an interview saying that he had gone to Baruch, graduated from Baruch, and that he even played volleyball for the school and stated that he sacrificed his knees for the team. Immediately my brain went to another place and I was like, oh, I bet his knees have been through it, but not from playing volleyball. Moving forward. He also admitted to lying about working for Goldman Sachs and Citigroup on Wall Street, as well as his, quote, Jewish heritage And he even reached and claimed that he was half black.
What?
I really wonder how his white Republican constituents feel about that one. I was like, oh, Lord. Okay, so, of course, subsequently, members of Congress have since called for Santos to resign as a result of his fabricated past, and at least two separate fraud investigations are currently underway into the GOP politician. I completely agree. I was like, Punkin gotta go, and you trying to represent Long Island? Oh, okay. He makes the already disheveled and insane GOP look even worse than they already do. Like, they can't afford to have him. They can't afford to have him. They can't afford to have crazy medication-needed Marjorie Taylor Greene. They can't afford to have some of these crazy wild ones, Matt Gaetz. They can't afford to have some of these crazy people. Seriously, as a party? No. That's one thing about the Democratic Party. They'd be like, okay, no, no, no. And you can say what you want. I, of course, understand that we are talking about two broken wings on the same one retarded bird. However, if it was the Democratic Party with this fool, they would have made him resign. They'd go, you got to go. You are not going to be lying about every single important reference on your resume. You can't lie about your work history, your education, and your family. Yo. And now you are a super duper drag queen. This trumps Giuliani when he tried to dress up like Marilyn Monroe. He was the ugliest Marilyn Monroe I've seen in my life. But the wild part is that Santos isn't an unattractive drag queen. I was like, oh, he looks a little pretty in a weird way. And this was, you know, 20 years ago, so he was a little thinner, so he looked a little better. Now, you know, he's eating a lot of Krispy Kreme, a lot going on right now. You should be allowed to hold office if you've been found to be a lying sack of you-know-what. Real talk. That was one of the issues that I continue to have with Donald J. Trump. He's a liar. I'm like, and the bad part, okay, listen, I am not sitting up here talking about politicians don't lie. We know they do. However, when you get caught a lot, you're a bad liar. One of the reasons, excuse me, why I didn't continue on and go to law school, because I was supposed to go to law school, but I knew that I would have to lie. And I've said this before in previous episodes, but I said, I don't want to lie for a living. And I would have to lie, whether I was a prosecutor or whether I was a defense attorney. I would have to lie. I was like, I'm not lying. I don't want to lie for a living. So everybody knows bad lawyers are the ones that don't lie well for their client. Okay? So it goes to the top as far as I'm concerned. And if you lie, and it gets caught, and found out, then you need to go somewhere and sit down. You need to be relieved of duty, and you need to go somewhere and sit down. And I'm not trying to say that lying is okay. It really is not. But we have to really understand, understand, and overstand how the politics of this nation actually works. So I'm not going to sit here and say they don't lie. I know they lie, but they either lie well or badly. And if you lie that badly, good Lord, you got to go. Sorry, I'm not condoning any of the lying behavior, even if it's not found out. I have to put that out there. But I'm just saying, you lied on every part of your resume, basically. Now, we know what happens. If we embellish our resumes, we can get fired if it's found out, yay or nay. If I put on my resume that I graduated top of my class, cum laude, at Princeton, and my ass was never in Princeton, and my job finds out that that's not true, I can be fired. So why doesn't it, why is it not the same when you get into up and what's the same? Is that why are we trying to stress to children all the time to tell the truth? Why are you even trying to stress to a criminal to tell the truth? And the highest people, the highest officials lie like bad toupees, get caught in a lie, and still keep their job. Hello? Something is wrong. but yet you want to stress to the children, be honest. You have to tell the truth. You got to tell the truth, Mikey. You have to tell the truth, Cindy. The children are paying attention. They'd be like, no, I don't, because the adults with the money and the power are lying like facts and you know what. And they don't get in trouble. Wow. What are we really teaching? What are we really trying to stress to our youth and each other? Because lying is not cool at all. And I'm not talking about a little tiny, tiny, tiny lie. I'm talking about huge, superficial lies. When I heard him say, oh, yeah, I even played on the volleyball team at Baruch. I sacrificed my knees for the team. And then the interviewer is like, oh, yeah, you graduated from Baruch? Because I think that the person giving the interview graduated from Baruch. And then he's like, yeah, I graduated from Baruch. No, you didn't. Do you even have a degree in anything? Did you graduate from high school? So this is a problem. This ain't cool. This is not cool. And I'm really hoping, as crazy as the Republican Party is, I really, really hope that McCarthy and some of the other ones will be like, listen, you have to go. You can't hold your office. You have been found to be a pathological liar. Reminds me of when, what was his name? I can't remember his name. He was on Saturday Night Live back in the day, black hair. And he would lie all the time and then be like, yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah. And he knew he was lying. He'd be making stuff up. And over embellish and be like, yeah, because that's the truth. Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah. Like, that's Saturday Night Live. That is not supposed to be the Republican nor Democratic Party of the United States of America. I'm just saying. Tell me right. Okay, going on. So we have new news with regards to the tenderoni hot sauce. Okay, according to professionals in the medical field, quote, we have no solid data about the performance of the bivalent boosters, says John Moore, an immunologist at Weill Cornell Medical College. Quote, the hard evidence is lacking, and the evidence that is out there is at the very least inconclusive. And to me, trends towards saying the bivalent boosters were little, no better. They were literally like, he came out and said that the booster is either little to not efficient at all. Mother told you this a few months ago. Moving forward. Moore and others argue the virus is changing so fast that it's pointless to constantly try to match the vaccines to the latest variants. Mother said this a few months ago, too, because crazy white man created COVID-19, okay, created it in a lab at Fort Detrick in North Carolina and unleashed it, okay. It leaked, quote unquote, leaked at the Wuhan lab. But do not forget that Dr. Fauci had individuals working for him at the Wuhan lab to make COVID-19, which is like SARS-CoV-2. Okay? Don't ever forget that. Do not ever forget COVID-19 was made in a lab to wipe out the population. And Dr. Fauci was at the head of that. He created a monster. The monster morphs and changes on a regular basis, like most viruses do anyway. They're going to continue to get stronger. They're going to do things and morph. They're going to wax. They're going to wane, whatever. As I continue to say, keep your immune system boosted. Get your vitamin C. Go outside. Get your sunshine so that you can synthesize vitamin D. Take your calcium. If you need to take extra calcium, take zinc. Real talk, all right? Because many of us who have not received one dose of the tenderoni hot sauce are fine. And they know that the people who are coming into the hospitals now with severe cases of COVID-19 are dropping dead because of the tenderoni hot sauce. I'm going to continue to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. Been a few different conventions that have been going on. Dr. Judy Mikovits headed a huge conference where she was talking about how people can detox from the tenderoni hot sauce. She herself was one of the top immune biologists working at Fort Detrick when Fauci was starting to do his nonsense, and she was trying to report him, and they threw her in jail. Okay? She knew she was working on it and working on things way back. She knew that AZT, with regards to people who had HIV, would give them AIDS and kill them. Fauci was one to help create AZT as well. Don't let that little face fool you. He's a little murderer. Y'all better wake up. Mind you, Dr. Moore goes on to say, we shouldn't really be chasing these variants, which are evanescent and often gone by the time you created the new vaccine. How about that? Dr. Paul Offit of the University of Pennsylvania, who is one of the FDA's advisors. Dr. Offit and others also question whether everyone will necessarily need to be boosted regularly or just those at high risk, like the elderly, because Lord knows they're trying to kill the elderly first. Stand that, please. Now, what's deep is that more recently, the machine has actually created a vaccine for bees. Yes, I said bees, like bees. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a very horrible idea, okay? I continue to say that Frankenstein is loose. Ain't nobody paying attention. Frankenstein is loose. And y'all are letting Dr. Frankenstein tell you what to do. And now Dr. Frankenstein has decided to give a vaccine to bees. Mind you, bees help greatly in producing our food. Just in case you don't understand what bees do. They don't just pollinate flowers and make stuff look pretty. No, they pollinate all of our fruit and vegetables. Okay, they're essential to the natural food chain. And basically, without them, we die. Real talk. You can make as much fake food as you want, but the fake food doesn't really metabolize well in the body because the body is organic and needs organic food. When you start putting fake things in the body, like plastic rice, your body can't metabolize it. It's going to store it someplace. It's going to fester. It's going to become cancer. You're going to die quickly. The body needs organic food. The body does not need synthetic and fake food. Even if you do eat a little junk food or whatever, try to combat that by eating fruit and vegetables that are organic, that haven't been filled with fake stuff and also haven't been GMO'd, okay, or Monsanto'd. I don't even know. I'm trying to find out if we have, corn that doesn't have GMO in it. I know the corn that my husband and I buy from the Amish people is not GMO corn. Delicious, and it's sweet, and it's yellow, and it's beautiful. But some of this other corn is suspicious, honey. Anyway, they really just need to let the bees do what the bees do. They need to leave them alone, okay? And I'm going to take a slight tangent right here in saying that going back to 3G and 2G would be a great start. I know some of you recall when I was reporting on 5G before the rollout actually occurred, and I was talking about how 5G is the devil. And I ain't playing around when I say it because I know it kills bees. It kills birds. It throws off the natural echolocator in animals and insects. It throws it off. It, like, it overrides it and it changes it, and then it winds up making the bee colony or the flock of birds fly to their death. Real talk. I've seen videos, maybe you have as well, of birds that look like they're flying into an invisible wall. And they just fall to the ground. They hit the space and they just hit the ground and then they die. Thousands of birds. Thousands of bees have been found in different places. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They can't find their way back to their hive. This is really, really deep. And moreover, 5G is disruptive to airplanes and helicopters. I don't know if you recall when the FAA came out and said that 5G was interfering with the equipment on airplanes that give pilots accurate readings of their altitude and other important factors necessary for takeoff, flying, and landing safely. Since 5G has been turned up, there have been a lot of helicopter and plane crashes. You're paying attention. Okay? So it's really sad because the machine just wants everybody to die. And I don't mean to sound morbid, but, like, you got to know the truth in order to protect yourself and your family. You got to know the truth so you can try to combat it. All right? If 5G harms bees, other insects, birds, and humans, and it alters aeronautic equipment on airplanes and helicopters, how is it really helping us? So I will accept a slower computer and a crappy cell phone in order to live healthy and fly safely to different destinations. And for God's sake, leave the bees alone. Moving forward, according to CNN, in Washington, a jury today convicted Arkansas man, all right, the Arkansas man who posed for photographs with his feet on the desk of then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in her, you know, her office. Remember that picture of the white man with his feet up on her desk during the insurrection? Okay. So after 3 hours of deliberation, the jurors convicted Richard Barnett on all 8 of the charges that he faced, including interfering with a police officer, obstructing an official proceeding, and remaining in a restricted building with a dangerous weapon. So he's scheduled to be sentenced in May. I'm like, give him 20. Anyway, Mr. Barnett, who has adopted the name Bigo, drove from his home in rural Gravette, Arkansas, to attend the then President Donald Trump's rally on January 6th near the White House. He brought with him to Washington a hike and strike, which is a hiking stick containing a 950,000-volt stun device with spike electrodes. Widely viewed videos made clear that while in the Capitol building, Mr. Barnett propped his feet on the desk in Mrs. Pelosi's Capitol suite. He took an envelope from the California Democrat's office and left her a note stating, quote, "Nancy, Bigo is here, you bitch," end quote. The envelope Mr. Barnett took was addressed to another member of Congress, and it contained Mrs. Pelosi's digital signature. Body camera video also captured Mr. Barnett shouting at a police officer who was attempting to clear the Capitol by directing rioters to the rotunda and its outside exit. During the confrontation with the officer, Mr. Barnett aggressively demanded that an officer leave his post and retrieve a flag that Mr. Barnett had left there. He then took the witness stand in his own defense during a 2-week trial, which is an unusual move that subjected him to a lengthy and tense cross-examination by Justice Department Prosecutor Michael Gordon. This is when it gets interesting. Just stay with me. Mr. Barnett said that he acted stupidly during the riot, but he disputed key aspects of the Justice Department's case. So here's where it gets retarded. Mr. Barnett said he was pushed into the Capitol by a rush of people and didn't know it was a restricted area. He said he didn't understand that Congress was certifying President Biden's election victory, so there was no deliberate intent on his part to obstruct an official proceeding. Excuse me? Mr. Barnett also testified that the stun gun feature on his walking staff was inoperable on the day of the riot. He took an envelope from Mrs. Pelosi's office because he had bled on it, he said, and that in any event, he left behind a quarter as payment for the envelope. He goes on to say, quote, "That's how I sit at my desk at home," okay, with regard to the famous photo of him with his feet on her desk. Quote, "It's such a habit for me to do that. It's not nearly as bad as it looks," Mr. Barnett said. He also said he regretted leaving behind his letter from Mrs. Pelosi. He said, "I acted like a kid." Mr. Gordon, the prosecutor, told jurors that Mr. Barnett repeatedly lied on the witness stand and still does not regret much of his criminal conduct. His regret was that he was caught. Mr. Gordon said in his closing remarks, adding, quote, "He lied over and over again to your faces." Now, me, I say, what else is new? They all act all big and bad when they're committing heinous crimes, okay, or carrying on. But in court, they cower and lie about it. So let's give him 20 years for sedition, treason, and unlawful assembly. You know, and then, of course, he still has his, like, his beard, but he's, you know, of course, he's in a suit trying to look all nice and clean, whatever. Stop. Stop. Now, on to my next story. In case you have not noticed, there have been some real serious power substation attacks, okay? I don't think you realize how many. 120 power substations across the United States were attacked in 2022 alone. Mind you, we only heard about three. 120, but we were told about three. Okay, they're blaming white supremacists, and I believe they should, because black folks don't really do this. You know, we're really concerned about, you know, we don't want our food to spoil in the refrigerator and in the freezer. We don't want that, and we like heat in the wintertime. We are not attempting to cut a power substation's power to our home, and we're cold. No, we like heat. So that definitely wouldn't have been us, especially in the wintertime. That wouldn't have been us. Meanwhile, there's a writing entitled The Turner Diaries. It's kind of like a Bible for white supremacists. And it gives suggestions like attacking power substations and poisoning water supplies and different things like that, okay, in order to show your might against the machine. And I don't get this. Meanwhile, it's not like you don't have white people who are on oxygen at home and need the electricity to pump the pump. It's not as if you don't have white folks that really need electricity at home, and, you know, maybe they have children and, you know, they have to make sure they have electricity and heat and food for their family. Like, what is wrong with these people? They're clocking out. They're clocking out. You know, so like the church lady used to say, I'm like, isn't that special? Because I can't understand where you're going to get justice from cutting off power to people. And if you're so sick to think that you're going to cut off power to black people as a white supremacist move, knowing full well that white and black people live amongst each other in different communities wherever in this country, north, south, east, west, midwest, wherever. It's not, you know, 1910 and we're still so separated. We're very, very intermingled. Even where we live right now, there's white and black people in where we live. We're not separate. You know, if you look at even in the city now, you know, Bed-Stuy used to be black. Bed-Stuy ain't black no more. Brooklyn is very polka-dotted. Harlem, same thing. Harlem used to be, no, it ain't no more. You know, because I always talk about, you know, when they want to gentrify a city, you know, they bring in drugs and crime, and then they lower the property value. And then when it gets abandoned and just about to fall apart, Whitey comes in, swoops up all the property, and next thing you know, you got a Wawa and a Connecticut Muffin on the corner. You know, these particular corporations would never invest in your neighborhood before, but now, you know, you've got Papa John's and everything else. When you used to have mom and pop stuff, you used to have the mom and pop West Indian bakery and pizzeria and deli and, you know, the different restaurants. You know, we had a really fly Pakistani family that owned one of the best places to eat on Ocean Avenue in Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy. Their food is so good. Whether you wanted a turkey burger, whether you wanted breakfast, whether you wanted some rice and chicken, whatever you wanted, their food was delicious and very reasonable. But those are the people that get pushed out by these major corporations who come in and buy up half of the block to put up an Arby's. And we get pushed out. You know, financially, we get pushed out. Like I said before, when I moved to Brooklyn in 1997, it was July, August of 1997, and my rent was $525. I occupied the entire ground floor of a beautiful brownstone. I had the backyard and the sub-basement for storage, $525. That included my electricity, heat, hot water, everything. And when I moved, 9 years later, my landlord wanted $1,200 for the same space. And I was like, you got to be crazy because nothing else has happened. You didn't replace anything. I didn't get granite countertops and stainless steel appliances. I didn't get a refrigerator that gave me an ice and water dispenser. None of that happened. I didn't get a washer dryer put in. I didn't get any of that. It was the same space. But they were trying to compete and deal with the tax hikes, the tax property hikes, because Whitey was moving into the neighborhood. To have Hasidic Jews running all around Bed-Stuy with briefcases of money, and they would ring the doorbell of homes that they knew were owned by black people, and they would flash the money, like $500,000, and try to get you to sell the whole brownstone, when in the meantime, the brownstone was really worth about $2 million at that time. But they flashed that $500,000 in the suitcase. I mean, in the briefcase, excuse me. Like, this is how they do it all the time. So even right now, if you wanted to live in Manhattan, your rent could be like for $4,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. Mind you, my husband brought to my attention the other day that he had seen an article talking about how the rat problem in New York is out of control. And you got rats big as cats everywhere. They're rampant in the subway. They're rampant at night around trash. They're everywhere. Meanwhile, now that I live in the country, I haven't seen a rat. I haven't seen a pigeon in years. I haven't seen a pigeon at all up here. Just saying. And I remember when one of my girlfriends and I were walking through Jersey City, and we were going to a house music event on the pier. It was a beautiful, beautiful summer day. We parked the car, and we knew we were going to have to walk a few blocks to get to the venue. But we were like, okay, we're cool. So we're walking. And I look down, and I see a dead pigeon. Now, pigeons are like flying rats. Pigeons have very strong immune system, similar, you know, like rats. They have a very strong immune system. They can peck on, eat on, whatever, and they don't really die. So it was weird when I saw this dead pigeon on the side of a building. We walked maybe about another block. There was another dead pigeon. We had seen at least three dead pigeons before we even got to the venue, which was an outdoor venue. But it never escaped my mind, like, what is going on in Jersey City where pigeons are just dropping dead? Because pigeons don't just drop dead. Honey, so much going on, as I always say. So much going on. So, I must say, for the record, and don't get upset with me, but for the record, pseudo white supremacy and racism will always trump anti-Semitism. Yeah, I'm making a left turn. And, you know, if we have to compare plights, okay, P-L-I-G-H-T-S, if we have to compare plights, racism is the real monster. Now, no offense to white Jews, even though they themselves had a very strong yet invisible hand in slave and the entire operation of it. Nonetheless, I'm saying what I'm saying because my mother always told me that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, meaning that whoever whines the most gets the most attention. Well, to me, the Jews take the cake on whining. Not sorry, I'm real serious. If black folks whined and moaned as much as white Jews do about their little incident with the Holocaust, and I don't mean to call it little to belittle it, but in terms of a span of time, it does not compare to our 400-plus years of enslavement, brutality, inequality. Keep it going. It also begs the question for me personally. Why didn't they use the word racism? Because racism is, so this is interesting. I know, understand, and overstand that racism is a construct. Racism affects every area of people activity, and racism rears its ugly head on a regular basis, even though sometimes it seems like it's invisible, but it's everywhere. Okay? Anti-Semitism is not everywhere. And even the fact that they continue to call themselves Semites when they don't have a bloodline to the family and of Shem, they don't have a bloodline to Shem. Again, it's the Khazars that came into the area of Israel and Palestine. It's really Palestine. There's no such place as Israel at that time. And Judaism back to the Khazarian Empire. And then they mushed it together with Luciferianism and the worship of Satan, which is why it has been said that they worship the synagogue of Satan. That's even in the Bible. And I'm not one to get attached to Biblos, but it is in there. Now, we, as many different nationalities, and when I say that, I mean, we are the Native American, okay? The original Native American is a black African people. We are the original people of the Caribbean. We are the Arawak people. We are the Taino. We are the Aboriginal individual. We are the first European. Like, this is who we are. And for some reason, and I'm saying that lightly, our history continues to be erased. So now these other groups who have usurped our heritage want to just give us the label of being former enslaved Africans, when that's not all who we are. Think about that for just a moment. And I'm not trying to bash white Jews. That is not my intent. I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm stating the truth. And you've got to remember that old adage, if you tell a lie long enough, dot, dot, dot. And that's what we're suffering under. So So I covered this in my last episode because of the recent attacks on Kevin Hart for saying that ancient Egyptian pharaohs and queens were black. This is a fact that most of us are aware of. However, white Arabs have now gotten into the fray with the other culture vultures by attempting to claim our ancient history as their own. Full stop. Hell no. They were nowhere to be found during the time of ancient Kemet, nor ancient Kush or Punt. They were nowhere to be found. Many of them were still fumbling around in barren darkness. Islam didn't exist at that time. Islam did not exist at the time, the golden age in Kemet. It did not exist yet. Even National Geographic had several articles on the black pharaohs of Egypt. So what is with the new lie? Racism? Is it wannabe-ism? What is it? What do y'all think it is? Because the thievery of culture is insane. And it's our culture that they steal. You know, they infiltrated into the Native American tribe by paying $5. But when you look at a powwow and you see a white-skinned Indian, they're not a Native American. Native American has been here for 56,000 years, all the way from Canada, like I said before, to the bottom of South America. These are black-skinned people, many of whom originally came from Africa. Africans used to travel back and forth from Africa over here. Don't forget when I spoke about the Grand Canyon and the Kemetan / Egyptian artifacts found within the Grand Canyon, temples to Heru and Anubis and Isis and, temples in the Grand Canyon. Copper mines, copper smelted artifacts, features on their faces. Let us not forget the Olmecs or the Chichamecs with big lips and broad noses and cornrows in the back of their heads. These are 2-ton basalt statues. Popped up all over the place. One popped up in Brooklyn. These are like huge megalithic calling cards, if you will. They definitely say, guess who was here, pumpkin? Hey. So I just urge you, individually and collectively, to stop a lie in its tracks whenever you encounter one. Don't be afraid. Do not be shy. Nip it right then and there and be fearless in your delivery. Okay? Another reason why knowing our history is so important. Because somebody can tell you all you ever were was a slave, and if you believe that, then you're going to live in a state of ignorance and you will not have the power or the connection to your greatness. You know, you always got to understand, why would Europeans enslave African people? They didn't enslave us because we were stupid. They didn't enslave us because we were slow. They didn't enslave us because we didn't have skills. They didn't enslave us because we weren't cute. They didn't enslave us because we were ignorant or we were low, an animal-like individuals, because how would an animal know how to build a house? We built everything. We built all of Washington, D.C., the Capitol building, the White House, monuments, all kinds. We built all that. Stupid people don't build things. I'd like to see it happen. Why would you go to so much effort to take someone who was lowly and like an animal? Why would you do that? If they were actually lowly and animalistic, why would you take them? Why would you take so many people? How would you then even teach them how to build something or whatever? Because I have never seen a horse build a house. I've never seen a monkey build a house. Have you ever seen a gorilla build a house? Have you seen a dog build a dog house? I'm just asking. No, you haven't. So obviously, they took us because we were the best and the brightest and the most brilliant. We were talented. We were beautiful. We were muscular in stature. We had amazing physique. And you know, I've said this before, I'm going to repeat myself, but for us to be so lowly and animal-like, why would you have me watch your children? I wouldn't give my baby to a gorilla. I've said this before. If we were so horrible and we were so stupid because they tried to say that we did not have intelligence, then why would you put me in charge of your child? Let alone allow me to breastfeed your child. I hope you all know that picture is a picture of a very buxom black woman breastfeeding a white baby. Look it up. Your child to an animal? Would you let your baby suckle on the breast of a wild animal? Would you do that? No. And let's go a step further. We're supposed to be stupid, slow, and animalistic. Then why would you continuously have sex with us against our will? Why would you do that? Why would you continuously crawl into the bed of the slave woman in her nasty, ugly slave quarters to rape her? Small-brained, not creative, not have any endowed gifts by God. Just a basic lump of clay, but yet and still, we made all masses clothes. All those beautiful, fine garments, covered buttons and tail jackets and morning coats, Masses wife's dresses and, children's dresses and beautiful outfits and little knickers and vests for little boys and shirts with collars that were even and lapels and all of that. We made all of that. We might have been dressed in a potato sack because that was all they gave us. But don't forget, once we became free and we were able to do for ourselves, those of us who really took that gumption and moved with it, when you look at the old photographs of us, oh, my God, how beautiful are we? How fly are we? We've got on hats. We have on beautiful silk dresses and with such detail and lace and chiffon and all these beautiful textiles. We're rocking it all. And within 10 years of being free, we had built whole towns. Went to college, held public office, were members of Congress, just in 10 years. And hence, we were so fly that they decided, okay, we got to get them back on the plantation because if we let them keep going at this rate, then they're going to run over us. Which well may have been true, but it didn't mean that you had to re-enslave us. But again, desperation, fear, all these things bring about what? Jim Crow. Jim Crow is insane. Look it up. Black people getting arrested for standing outside the front of a store. It was against the law to be unemployed. how am I going to get a job if all the white people got jobs and I'm black and you don't want to give me a job? Now you make that a crime? Man, I keep saying it. So be careful. Okay, do not accept hearsay without proof. All right? We have the proof. The proof is in existence. We have it. We have it in literature. We have it in lecture. We have it in actual trips. People have done dissertations on all of these things. We have proof. Professor Anthony Browder and his archaeological team are in the midst of a dig right now. They found two burial sites of prominent African Egyptian men during the time of ancient Kemet. All right, he's got real receipts, hardcore receipts. His daughter was the first woman to enter one of the tombs, and she made history because women didn't do archaeological digs, and even if they did, the men that were with them wouldn't let them be the first to enter into the tomb. So she is the first female and first black woman to enter into these tombs. I've seen the pictures. Okay? Family, please, we cannot let our story get hijacked by white people. Again, I continue to say, we are original man on this earth. We have birthed all of the other peoples on this planet. Not only that, we had electricity. We had toilets and aqueducts. We created science. We created music. And we created high culture. Before anyone, we created it. And you got to realize, it takes a long time to create a nigger. It takes quite a while. When we see youth running around in these major cities, carjacking people, shooting people, shooting each other, accosting women, all of that is a result of what has been done to us. Our lack of economic empowerment, our lack of opportunity to be equal in this society, okay? Not having black men in the home, not having the opportunity to get a loan for your business or for school or for your house, not being able to shop at the same store or eat at the same lunch counter. I mean, all that for whites only, for whites only, for whites only, colored only, drinking fountains, bathrooms, train cars, buses, and where we could sit, if we could sit on a bus. All of those things lend themselves to a people who, or an individual at least, who is downtrodden, who will commit an act of crime to survive, who might also commit an egregious crime like rape or molestation of a woman, because those are power crimes. And America has castrated the black man. So to my brothers, especially my heterosexual brothers who are black and proud, my heterosexual brothers who did their work and made their magic happen in the world and did not get into trouble and do not have prison records or any other type of criminal record, I give y'all so much praise and kudos. It's as if you navigated through a maze with traps all around you and you made it out without getting caught in the trap. You are our heroes just by getting out of the trap, by not getting caught in the trap, holding down your job, creating a business of your own, being an entrepreneur, having a good side hustle, all of those things. I commend you, black man. I commend you. You are so fierce. And yes, of course, I love my sisters, but so does the white man. So we have to realize that, unfortunately, when we see these criminal acts, stupid or lowly or not human or any of those things. It's because they unfortunately have suffered from being in an environment where they may have drank the Kool-Aid and they believe, I can't get a job anywhere else. There ain't nothing else I can do. I got to wreck it. I'm never going to get a job doing such and such and such. So I got to rob and steal. I got to sell drugs. Or I got to sell women. How about that? Mind you, my husband and I were watching Fist of Fury and another movie, something about the boss with Jet Li. Not Jet Li. My God, not Jet Li at all. Bruce Lee. And I found it very interesting because the Chinese and some Japanese, and the Japanese, not some, let's see, how do I want to say this? They definitely propagated prostitution and human trafficking in these movies. You're like, what do you mean? In the last movie about the boss, Bruce Lee plays the cousin of a family who's coming from another part of China to get work and start anew and not fight. He had made a vow not to fight and what have you, but the things that are going on around him, of course, puts him into fighting and having to fight. So the boss that he worked for had all the money. The workers didn't have much of nothing. They slept on the floor, whatever. The boss had all the money, this big, huge compound with the, you know, surrounded by a big, big gate and fencing. And he had all these goons working for him. And, of course, they would do his bidding and beat up anybody or kill anybody that he requested. But he also had women in his home against their will, and they would plot to kidnap women and bring them to him. His son, the employer's son, would even say to him, oh, I found a beautiful young girl for you. I'm going to bring her tonight. Now, meanwhile, by saying I'm going to bring her tonight means that we're going to kidnap her tonight and bring her to you for you to have your way with her. What? It disturbed me so much that I took it into my sleep. My dreams were so animated, I did not sleep well at all. Now, I love me some Bruce Lee, don't get me wrong. But this particular movie was very disturbing because it really, it shows you human trafficking. It showed you the unfair workplace. It shows you a lot of corruption, murder. You know, it was very interesting. I did finish watching it. But, and even in the end, after Bruce Lee whooped everybody's ass, he goes to jail. It was very interesting to me. I don't know why, but it's really sticking out in my head. It doesn't make Chinese people look good at all, or Asians, period. But I was like, wow. You know, and everybody in the movie was Asian except for one white man. And they had prostitutes, everything. And then the son went and killed the prostitute, stabbed her in the chest with a knife. I was like, oh, Lord. To me, because we don't, how do I say? You know, our levels of entertainment are very interesting. And I remember watching Enter the Dragon and Fist of Fury when I was a young girl. I never saw this other movie about the boss. I didn't see that. But a lot of other young men did. And I'm like, did it give them the idea that prostitution and human trafficking is okay? I knew a brother who was, I really liked him. This was in the past. I really liked him. But I found out that he used to be a pimp. Of course, that relationship ended very quickly. It wasn't that serious anyway. But what? And see, me, I can't be with a pimp. I can't be with a drug dealer. I can't be with a gangster. I can't be with any of those things. I can't be with a gambler. None of it. I can't be with anybody like that. ever. And so it was wild to me that it wasn't a big deal to him. And I was like, oh, my God, like, where is your morality? Who am I talking to right now? Are you reformed? What is this? You know, and I know you had, what was that big pimp that wrote that book? I can't remember his name right now, but y'all probably know who I'm talking about. But the whole, it's like a manual on how to make a woman a prostitute. And I'm like, what? Like, we don't have time for that anymore, family. We don't have time for that at all. We never had time for it then, but we really ain't got time for it now. And prostitution has graduated to human trafficking in its terminology these days. But it's been around forever. We cannot participate in such activity. There is no real glorification for me of a pimp or a prostitute. Even all of it, it comes from not being able to thrive in your environment or in society like other people. So you have to create another way to make money. And even though in our society, in our culture, you have black women who have been known to say to their daughter even that a wet vagina and a dry purse don't mix. And I'm being nice using the word vagina because they use the P word. Why would you encourage your child to use her body to make money? I know prostitution is one of the oldest occupations. But at this day and time, and what we see happening with us and to us, why would you say that to your daughter or your niece? Why would you say such a thing? People off in friendships for recommending such things to me when I might have had a little financial struggle, you know, and I needed extra money. I have had people say that to me. Never spoke to those people again, but what a hell of a recommendation. Meanwhile, I was like, I have too many skills. I don't need to do that. I'll clean toilets, and I can clean a good toilet. I am not about to use my body to make money in that way. I'm going to sing. I'm going to dance with my clothes on. I'm going to act. I'm going to sew something. I'm going to make something. I'll make some jewelry. I'll make some clothes. I'm going to do hair. And like I said, clean somebody's residence. I'll do that to make extra money. I'm not using my body. That is not my go-to. I know I'm precious. I know that I am a queen and a goddess. Teach this to young women. You are a queen and a goddess. You are a princess and a goddess. You must respect your temple. You can't let everybody have their way with you. And you better not be selling your body to make money. So I just, and I know I made a bit of a tangent, but it's just really heavy to me because, yes, we continue to go through so much and we find ourselves in death situations because racism is alive and well. And we don't have economic equality. You got white people who continue to reap the benefits of their great-great-grandfather being a slaveholder. Fact. So, of course, on the other end of that, you're going to have black people suffering as a result of being enslaved to somebody's great-great-great-grandfather. You know, my husband and I were talking about food even. You know, I'm very anti-pork. I can't eat pork. I gave up pork when I was like about 21 years old, maybe 19, 20 years old. When I was in college, I gave up eating pork because I knew we weren't supposed to eat it. And I knew it was a nasty, disgusting creature with pus in its hooves, with a digestive tract that could eat dead things, which is what it was created for. It was created to eat dead carcasses in the Caucasus Mountains when white people didn't know about burying their dead or dead anything, dead animal, dead human, anything, you know, feces everywhere, just disgusting and nasty. And that was what the pig was created to do. The pig was created to eat dead flesh, for it will eat anything, including its own baby. And we're not supposed to eat that. So I'm very, very anti-pork. I'm like, no, absolutely. I used to have a line talking about lips that touch swine will never touch mine. Pork is disgusting. It's like you're eating something that's dead. It's bad enough that we've been conditioned to eat meat, period, because we shouldn't really even be eating meat. We shouldn't eat poultry either. We really shouldn't eat it. And so sometimes we got to kind of fast from these things if you don't cut it out altogether. But sometimes you just need to like, okay, I'm not going to eat so much red meat. I'm not going to eat so much chicken. You know, I'm not going to do it. But people, please do not eat pork. Have you ever seen the experiment with the Pepsi Cola and you pour the Pepsi Cola over the pork and you put it in the oven and all the worms come out? You ever see that? The maggots just come out. It is not for human consumption. It is a consumer. That's it. It eats dead things. That's what it's supposed to do. It was never supposed to be the new white meat. No. But white people figured out a way, because they were the ones that were eating it. So they figured out a way to eat the best parts of it. So then what happened? And I'm talking about during the slave trade. So what happened? The parts of the pig that they would throw in the garbage, the ears, the snout, the tail, the feet, and the intestines were thrown into the garbage. And enslaved people would rummage through that and find a way to cook it, to eat it, because we were starving. Think about how desperate you have to be to want to eat the intestines of anything. Think about it. Even things like tripe. Tripe is the lining of the cow's stomach. People eat tripe. People eat cow tongue. Cow tongue soup. These are parts of the animal that were thrown away. But because we were so desperate and so hungry, clean all of the shit out of the intestines and then boil it with lots of salt and then add some seasoning and simmer and then have something to eat. So when we're never supposed to be eating any part of a pig. We're not supposed to have bacon. We're not supposed to have pork shoulder or pork butt or spare ribs. We're not supposed to eat it. And yet and still, but many of us do. That's frightening to me. It is actually frightening to me. That's why I can't eat Spam. I can't eat things like Scrapple or whatever. I can't eat. All that is just leftover shit. It's leftover garbage that they smush together, compact into a square, and call it food. If you have enough money, you should not want to eat it. Even like pork bologna, same thing. Pork hot dogs, same thing. Pork sausage, same thing. It's ground up meat smushed into something, and they're calling it food. You even have to be careful with the casing of your sausages if you're eating like turkey meat or chicken sausages. Sometimes they make the casing out of pork. I think that is a wicked thing to do. Read the labels on your food. And please, please don't eat pork. Oh, my God. As I continue and I come upon almost the end of the show, remember, we were the first queens and kings anywhere on this planet. We were the original royalty. Even the word royale is a special word. And it had to do with sangre royale, royal blood. And royal blood was always black blood. So even when you look at the monarchy of England and how now Queen Elizabeth has died, Charles is going to become king, he's going to have his coronation, blah, 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 blah. All that pomp and circumstance is stolen from us. The jewels in their crowns are directly stolen from Africa because emeralds and rubies and diamonds don't grow or don't, they're not anywhere in Europe. You can dig under the ground in Europe and all you're going to find is more dirt and more rock. You're not going to find emeralds and rubies. That's in Africa. You know, the way that they dress, even those wigs, the wigs of Parliament are fashioned after the headdress of the pharaoh. Please look at these similarities and make these connections for yourself. When you see Parliament in session in England and they have on those white curly-like wigs, those wigs are directly stolen from the pharaoh's crown and headdress. Yes, the pharaohs of Kemet, so-called Egypt. All of it. You know, unfortunately, we don't know it. You know, we get lost and we don't know who we are in this country. We don't know who we are in this world sometimes. Even in Africa, I watched an amazing program on the colonization of Africa and how Africans don't learn African history. And unless it is told by the griot of the village or whatever, you know, Africans who have jumped into mainstream society or who are in, you know, major cities in Ghana or Nigeria, that they have a very white mindset. And I would like to differ, but it's true. When I was in Nigeria, I saw more weaves on heads. I was astounded. And there I was with locks down to my back. And everyone's looking at me like I'm an exhibit, but you have goat hair on your head. Like, why is the African woman in Africa wanting so much to wear goat hair? Why do they wear weaves the way they do? And so it was beautiful when I came across sisters that either had a bald head or a Caesar, or they had locks too, or they had a small afro. It was wonderful when I engaged with those women. Now, when I was in South Africa, it was a little different. I did not come across as many weaves. Most of them had a short afro, or they had a Caesar, or they were bald, or they had braids, still rooted to who they were. But a lot of other women on the quote-unquote Ivory Coast, Gold Coast, assuaged to be looking like white women. They bleached their skin. So it's heavy. It's very, very heavy. Skin bleaching process is insane. And it just goes to show you just how deep colonization goes. It just goes to show you just how deep the mind, I have a word I can't say, but the way that they mess with your mind. You know, and they've beaten so many things into us. And my husband and I, we were talking about the Bible. Like, they beat the Bible into you. You are the original author of different books in the Bible, and you don't even know that. And Then the other stuff is this blatant lies that the Roman Empire put in. And then it all gets turned around. You weren't even able to read the Bible when we were enslaved. And so they just continue with the trickery. And so now when you look at even the establishment of certain churches, it's trickery. But yet a man can be a pimp last week and then become a preacher this week. What? How many stories do we know Bishop Eddie Long and other misuse their power? Some of them have cocaine addictions, or they're undercover homosexuals. And, you know, they got their first lady sitting in the front pew, but meanwhile they're doing the choir director in the church. Honey? Mm-mm. So, unfortunately, because we've been put in various states of poverty and ignorance, you know, we're still stuck. And we got to snap out of this. We've got to come out of it, family. We've got to keep learning and growing. We've got to come out. We've got to be able to rise up and thrive. We've got to be able to do this. You know, I watched a million videos. I'm watching cheerleaders. I'm watching battle competitions. And all I could think of was, can we teach these young women how to protect themselves? Can we teach them how to shoot a firearm and how to use some martial arts to defend themselves? Can we teach them that? Yeah, you might know that, you know, the dopest cheer, or you banging on the step team. You're great. You're awesome. You know, you're wonderful, but you don't know how to protect yourself. When, quiet as it's kept, little young white children from 5, 6, 7 years old are handling firearms and they know how to shoot a target well. Okay? Like, our priorities are all messed up. And you must keep your eye on your enemy. I'm not saying all white people are our enemy. That's not what I'm saying. But those who are, you got to keep your eye on them. Okay? The neo-Nazis and the Klan people and all these other little groups, Proud Boys and Boogaloo Boys and all this other stupidity, keep your eye on it. Pay attention to it so that you know how to protect yourself against it. It's wild out here. You got some crazy, scrawny-ass little black child running around Philadelphia molesting and touching women inappropriately. Well, y'all find his ass and give him a Mau Mau. Some of you might not know what a Mau Mau is. A Mau Mau is when you get abducted and you are given African history and black history 24 to 48 hours straight. Like, they literally, like, will tape your eyeballs open sometimes, just saying, and make you watch, you know, videos and lectures and learning history about our culture and our civilizations. And it's called a Mau Mau. They don't really do it too much, but I'm just saying. That's what needs to be done to this little fool, little scrawny-ass child. And some of these women look like they could take him. So I'm like, okay, how come you ain't punching him? How come you're not? Put him in a headlock, yo. Kick him. Some of these sisters got some big, thick legs. Kick him. Kick him where it really hurts. Can't just be walking around accosting people, touching people inappropriately. Nah, son, you ain't going to get that far. Use your teeth. Use them damn dragon fingernails you just got from the Chinese man. Use them fingernails, ladies. Let this little scrawny-ass child running up on people. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Absolutely not. You see the video of him looking like he weighs a buck 25, butt naked, wet with a brick. Please. One good hit. And one good grab. And Booba will hold him. Hold it in your hand and call the police with the other hand. Okay? I don't know too many men that know how to maneuver and think straight when you got all their junk in your hand tight. I'm just trying to say. No, no. So wound him. Take an eyeball out if you got to. But please. And we keep talking about Where is the good old-fashioned neighborhood watch? If you know your neighborhood and your area is a hot mess and the children are a little out of control, y'all put them cameras up, you take turns patrolling your neighborhood. How can it be a neighborhood if ain't nobody a neighbor? Come on. It can't just be the hood. It's got to be a neighborhood. You've got to watch out for each other. Put up the neighborhood watch sign. This area is being surveilled by cameras or whatever. Might not even be true. But sometimes when you put those signs up, it will deter a criminal. And lastly, I'm going to say, check your kids. Why are your children running around robbing people and shooting each other? What are you doing? Real talk. I have friends who have upstanding, wonderful children. Why? Because they put that into them. They didn't let the television and the video game raise the child. They raised their children. Their children are responsible, hardworking, decent, no criminal record, no babies out of wedlock. Everybody's on point. So to the parents of these children running around some of these major cities like vigilantes, what are you doing? What are you doing with your children? What have you done to make your son run around and molest women? What have you done to have your daughter toting a gat, running down the middle of the street, cameras everywhere, shooting at people? Check yourself. Y'all need to get with your children. My parents put the fear of God in me. They put the fear of God in us. We did not want to do anything wrong because we knew they were going to kill us. We were like, no, okay, never, no, no. Like, we couldn't do it. You know, I talk about this a lot. I talk about this when I talk to youth. You know, I had friends in high school and even junior high school, but mainly high school, that would want to go shoplift and go boost after school. And I had too much to do. I was like, I have piano lessons, I have dance school, I have acting lessons, I got choir rehearsal, I have other things that I am doing. I am not coming with you to the department store to steal stuff. And I didn't need to steal anything anyway. Teach your children to say no. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. So what if they call you corny? They ain't going to be in your life 10 years from now anyway. Teach your children to be righteous. I'm just saying. Ooh, okay, coming to the end soon. In recapping on what I was talking about with the church, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful because I know a lot of people that the church has been there for you, and the church kept you out of trouble. The church, you know, supposedly is giving you salvation, all these wonderful types of things. But you've got to realize that as African people and Native American people, we did not have that type of Christianity. It wasn't a Roman Catholic Christianity. Christianity was developed in Ethiopia. But if you weren't in Ethiopia, you ain't out. And you might have continued to use your own faith, whether you were Akan, maybe Yoruba, maybe you were Kemetan and did Kemetan science, or in Native American culture, you know, spirituality with Mother Earth and Father Sky and all these other wonderful things that kept us grounded and kept us righteous and loving to each other and to the earth. But they beat Roman Catholic Christianity into us. They beat that into us. Now, later on, you had the Baptists and the Lutheran and the Methodist, all of that. But they still all stem from the Roman Catholic Church. They still stem from that. They all have a similar Bible. It's just they just have other nuances in some of their statements. But it's still the same book. The book of John is the book of John. Genesis is Genesis. Exodus is Exodus. Deuteronomy is Deuteronomy. Kings is Kings. Hello? If you realize that, again, the Bible is a very large amalgamation of ancient writings, mainly ancient African writings, actually, and some Persian. Okay, but it gets contorted into modern dogma. Okay, and then it gets used to tell the lie that there was a curse put upon us. The only curse put upon us was white people enslaving us, period. To me, that is the only curse that we have experienced, being captured and enslaved and renamed and beaten and raped and sodomized and torn apart and all other things, so that they wouldn't have to work. That's fear. And it was used to justify the Roman Empire's thirst for blood and domination, okay, while trying to cover up their homosexual and bestial ways. But a lot of that, as I said, is coming out now, even though old habits are hard to break. But some of us use church like a drug. Because it feels good. We may not live in the word, but it feels good. And I get to see my friends and sing songs, and then we get to have some cake afterwards and stuff, and then I go home back to the same sinning ways that I always have. Just saying. I don't think most Christians even think about the fact that most of them don't really obey Jesus. You know? He taught that we should always seek knowledge, always seek the truth, to be good to each other, to be good to ourselves, to be righteous and honest, and to keep God first. I don't see a lot of Christians doing that. I see a lot of fanfare. I see gluttony like a mug. I see gluttony. Yes, I do. I see envy. A little bit of sloth sometimes. People only come alive on Sunday, but all week long they ain't doing nothing. Think about that. And I'm not trying to insult anyone who's in the church. I have family in the church. I used to be in the church, but I got knowledge, and that took me out of the church. Knowledge reigns supreme, honey. I didn't want to be a slave to anyone's rhythm, and I didn't want to be in a system that doesn't really help us. As I said at the top of the show, I don't even see the church doing things that it could do for the advancement of our people. I don't see it. And just because you have a fish fry on Friday and the money's going to go to the air conditioning fund, that is not what I mean by progress for black people. Think about it. Some churches even teach that, oh, the Egyptians were lowly and wicked, and they were, you know, like Satan, they were this, that. No, they were not. So much of what our current society utilizes was created by ancient Cretans. Y'all wouldn't believe it. Everything, mathematics, science, brain surgery, heart surgery, meditation, music, dance, makeup even, clothing, hairstyles, jewelry, all, what? And I didn't even get to agriculture yet. The ancient Chemites brought all of that to the world. We use that to this day. And these were black people. Again, when you come in contact with a lie, nip it in the bud. Please continue to seek knowledge of self. Man, know thyself. Know thyself. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what is really happening. We had one pope just die. The other pope resigned. Popes don't resign. Popes are like a Supreme Court justice. You got to die to leave your position. He resigned. all of the drama was coming down about the homosexuality and the accostation of children and what have you, he was like, I'm out. Pay attention to that. All right? Because he broke out. You know, pay attention to what that might say to you. And again, it is time for us to go back and fetch it, as Sankofa stands for. So please, do your best in your leisure to seek the truth. I know I said it before, I'm saying it again. Do your research. Our culture, our history is so awesome and magnanimous. We are ancient Africans, ancient Native Americans, ancient Caribbeans, even ancient Europeans. We're, again, amazing what we have done on this planet. Please do not let other people take that away from you. We were the first to civilize Europe. Europe is actually named after an African queen named Europa. So please, do yourself those favors and begin to know yourself. Free yourself from mental slavery. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Thank you so much for being with me tonight, everybody. I appreciate you so much. KK, I know you were on with me. Sister Barbara, Dawny, Tumba. Thank you so much. Dr. Winborn, thank you again for this platform and allowing me to bring forth the knowledge to our people. Everybody, have a wonderful week ahead. Be fantastic. Be nice to people. Do favors for people. Smile. Be love. Be light. Be a good human in the world. Protect our babies, and please watch out for our elderly. Okay? Love yourself. Okay? And know that you are grand. You are wonderful. Thank you for being with me tonight, family. I love you. Be fantastic and be love and light in the world. One love to everybody, everywhere. You have been listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show with your host, Queen Amina. And if you need some really good music in your life, please go to SoundCloud.com. Look up DJ Pitch Control, P-Y-T-C-H. CONTROLL, and get your life. Listen to music and let it heal you, make you feel so, so good. Get that two-step going. Enjoy your life, family. But embrace goodness and love. Music is a healing source of that, so get into it. And thank you again for being with me. I appreciate you all. One love and light always. Peace.